Welcome back inside the Boardman Quaker Steak and Lube here at the opening hour of week four of our Penguin Playbook radio show. Anthony Romo joined by the Youngstown State women's bowling team, the defending national champions, here for the first hour today. Before we talk with head coach Doug Kaberski, I want to send along a message about the Penguin Club. The Penguin Club helps provide the margin of excellence for YSU athletics. Penguin Club members receive chairback seats for YSU football games, as well as game day parking. Your contribution benefits the YSU Athletics Scholarship Fund. Fans can join the Penguin Club by calling 330-941-2351 and support the team behind the teams. The Youngstown State football team on the road this week at Towson. They'll be back home in 2 weeks when they host South Dakota State at Stambaugh Stadium. Without further ado, please be joined by the defending national champion head coach and two-time national coach of the year, Doug Kaberski. Coach, thanks for joining me.
It's great to be here. It's so good to see this crowd out here, and we can feel the love already. The season's young, and I'm loving it.
So obviously coming off a national championship last spring, last April to be exact, it's been a whirlwind, I'm sure, for the program, but a good whirlwind to have. Just from your standpoint, what have the past 6 months been like for you to lead a team that's been put on such a national pedestal?
Yeah, it's been, like, I think the W word is perfect, a whirlwind, but yeah. A good one. Yeah, we've been, you know, the attention has been great. The community, you know, even before the championship, we felt the love from our community. So it's not really a whole lot different, but, you know, a little bit extra exposure here, a little more interest here from certain outlets. But overall, though, you know, we don't have Fairweather fans at all. Our community has been supporting us for the last, you know, 7-8 years. I think we're in year 10 now. So Every year that I've been here and the first couple with Coach Chelsea, everybody's just been on top of this program, supporting it from day one. So not a whole lot's changed, but the love definitely was ratcheted up in April and May for sure, as you mentioned, with the celebration, and it's continued, and it feels great.
And this was a question that I didn't ask last year, and I felt bad that I didn't ask it after seeing the team go through the season and seeing the support. Something I thought was so cool, especially at the championship celebration at Zion Family Arena, was that your mother was in attendance and she was there right for you. Just, I want to ask you, since I didn't last year and I feel bad, just what has her support meant to you during your coaching career and especially during your time here at Youngstown State?
Yeah, I think anybody that's related to a coach in some way knows it's a not a traditional job with traditional hours, and there are a lot of ups and downs to it. So to have that support system, whether it's a parent, a spouse, a friend, a daughter, son, whatever it may be, is vitally important to keep you sane through all those ups and downs. And she's played a very big role in that.
And so before we talk about your time here at Youngstown State, I'd like to talk about kind of your time before you were here at YSU. You started your head coaching career at Iowa Western Community College. You were also an interim head coach at Arkansas State for a little bit of time. Arkansas State, another really good collegiate bowling program. What did each of those stops kind of teach you and lay kind of the groundwork for what it takes to be a successful head coach of a program?
Yeah, I know Coach Justin Kostick at Arkansas State. That was my first real, you know, coaching job, helping him there and just learning from a three-time coach of the year there. And I think they've made 15 straight NCAA tournaments. I think 3 or 4 television shows, just incredible record. And just watching him operate on a day-to-day basis with elite athletes, I learned so much. And then starting a program from the ground up in Iowa was also from a different angle, learning a lot about development and recruiting and the administrative side of things, which is a big part of it too. So just getting kind of both sides of the same coin was I think big for me to come in here and try to elevate things at Youngstown State.
And something that I thought was so interesting was when I was looking back at your time at Iowa Western Community College, you were far from just a head coach. You organized travel, you organized the team budget, you ordered equipment, you ran the team's social media accounts. What was that experience like for you? And I'm sure it kind of splits the people that really want to be head coaches between the ones that don't want to put in all the work. What was that experience like for you having to do all those extra things besides just coaching your team inside the lanes?
Well, it definitely makes you appreciate your staff more and the administration with you know, folks like Mr. John Vogel, you know, our sports information director, to our business office, you know, and Steve Picaro and Ron's crew, Ron Strollo's crew there. Everybody from the academic advisors. I mean, I was basically the academic advisor there too. You know, you have all those different hats on at once. So when you really get behind the scenes and you have a crew like we have that's, you know, specializing in different areas, you appreciate them so much and how they let the engine go. And like Kara and Amy were saying, they're all so great. They're passionate about student athletes and not just winning, but their welfare, their well-being, and they're thriving as people on and off the lane. So yeah, I think you grow appreciation for how tough those jobs are and how vital they are and how I think unsung they can be.
Yeah, definitely. You talk about sports information director John Vogel, one of the best in the business at what he does.
Yeah, we're texting buddies at 2 a.m. So we don't both, I think, sleep at normal hours. And he's one of the few I can, 3 a.m. Yep, he's up. He's still texting me. But no, really, anybody in the department, if you're texting them day or night, if they're awake, they're responding, and they're not going to say, hey, leave me alone. It's not 5 o'clock. I'm off the clock. Nobody says that here. Everybody's on the clock within reason to help these student athletes thrive. And it's great.
And you mentioned briefly earlier how this is year 10 of the Youngstown State Women's Bowling Program, which is extraordinary when you think about, you know, the program already has a national championship under their belt, multiple NCAA tournament appearances. Since you took over in the 2018-19 season, a program that was still pretty new in its infancy stages, how fulfilling has this journey been to see this program rise? There was the groundwork set before you got here, and now you've been able to kind of help take the stick and lead them up this hill.
Yeah, and I know when I was coaching with Coach Justin at Arkansas State, we competed against Coach Chelsea and Youngstown State. I think they were in year two or three then, and you can see it. And he's like, they got something brewing there. So when I took the job, he's like, you've got a lot of ingredients there to work with, and he wasn't lying. I mean, she did an outstanding job laying the foundation from a number of different aspects of things, including recruiting. So we had a great foundation when I took over, and I was able to build off that, and here we are. But we were ambitious. When I hit the ground running with the then Elaine Jacobs, and we've had a lot of wonderful administrators since then, led by Ron Strollo, now Stephen Caro, who's our head man, that have just supported bowling and our vision that we've had. And we had 3-4-5 year plan that we stuck to through the ups and downs, and thankfully it's worked out.
Yeah, definitely. I want to take a look back at the postseason run that the program had last year on the way to the national championship. You know, years down the line, anyone that steps on campus at Youngstown State, they're going to see the banners, they're going to see the trophy, they're going to see the end result. But a lot of people aren't going to remember that the postseason started out in a sour way at the conference tournament. An early elimination for the program sent you guys home early. And I was talking with the student athletes a little bit, and I mentioned how it was such a senior-led team last year, so much experience on that roster. And I guess if there's any positive to take out from an early elimination in a conference tournament, it's that you still had more work ahead and you had an experienced bunch that had been through a lot of ups and downs during their college career. What was the message like from you to the team heading into the regionals, or was it something that was kind of player-led because they had so much experience up to that point?
Yeah, this was not on the a list of questions I approved. I'm kidding. No. The conference championship was rough. Going 0-2, and I think having 3 or 4 days just to sit in New Orleans and watch. We went and watched the competition, and it was pretty painful. But I think, as they say, the cliche, the blessing in disguise. I think we definitely learned. I mean, we bowled well, but we bowled 2 top 10 in the country teams and lost, and just weren't quite at an A level, probably a B level, decent. But we realized what we were missing to get to an A level, and started with me, and just little things that we all could have done better. So it was a nice punch punch in the face, so to speak, to wake you up. And we really brought our A game to the postseason in the NCAAs, and with the regional championship, and then in Las Vegas for the Final Four. But I think without that conference championship, that wake-up call, who knows, it might not have happened. So, as long as you embrace those moments of struggle and see them as learning experiences and obstacles to overcome and learn from, they could be blessings, and it certainly was for us.
And if you paid attention, this wasn't actually one of the questions, but it's something that just came to me. If you paid attention to the program throughout the season, they were ranked highly nationally throughout the entire season. So, and that goes to the strength of schedule and the strength of record that the team had. How important, looking back at how the conference tournament went, how important was it to schedule as strongly as the program did that kind of gave you guys second life heading into regionals and wasn't necessarily, okay, our season's done after the conference tournament?
Yeah, there are not many sports where you can go 0-2 at conference and earn a 3 seed for the NCAA tournament, right? So, just kind of a testament to our schedule and our body of work for the regular season. And then, just preparing for the postseason. When you're that battle-tested throughout the year, when you're playing, 70% of the time you're playing a top 10 team, it gets you ready for those battles against the Nebraskas, the Jacksonville States, the Vanderbilts, the North Carolinas. You have that experience that you're ready to call upon from your Rolodex. So it's huge on not only a numerical level, but just a spiritual level. You're ready to go, and you're used to those battles.
And then moving on to the NCAA regionals now, that final day against North Carolina A&T, an exhausting final day, over 5.5 hours of bowling, 2 separate matches against the Aggies. Just take me through what that day was like for you as the leader of this team. You head into the day, 1 win away from moving back to the Final Four, and then you lose the mega match to begin the day, and then you end up winning the best of 7 Baker match at the end. Just what was that day like for you and for this team?
Oh, it was really the team was incredible. You know, they that first match, you know, I would say I got a little bit out of my focus on the process, and I think I wanted it a little bit too much and got focused on outcomes. And whenever you get outcome focused instead of process focused, you can lose sight of things. And thankfully, I caught myself and the team caught me, and we had a nice huddle before the tiebreaker match. And I said, look, that one's on me. We're going to just enjoy this moment together, rock our process, and let the bowling gods sort it out. So thankfully we were able to do that and finish the job. But yeah, I mean, North Carolina A&T, what a match that was. And they were a champion caliber team for sure. And I think that really prepared us also for the next step in Vegas.
And I talked to the girls a little bit earlier. They talked about the camaraderie and the closeness of the team. And they had so many good things to say about you. So good thing that we have a lot of good people here at Youngstown State, because the bowling gods were on our side.
Checks in the mail, thanks.
During that final day of regionals. So the team moves on to their third Final Four, and Madison Marks, Kirsten Moore also have their third Final Four appearances of their career. We'll talk more about Madison coming up, because she, even though she graduated, she's still with the program here at the Youngstown State women's bowling team.
Can't get rid of her. She's still here. Yeah.
You can't. So what were those conversations like heading into that final weekend, knowing regardless of what happens, this is a team led by six seniors that you had been through with so much during their careers? Were there any emotions heading into that final weekend, knowing that regardless of what happens, this is the last time, this is the last weekend that we'll be bowling together as a group?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I don't do a lot of speeches and you know, a lot of those motivational things. But yeah, you can just sense it mm-hmm. that we knew this was kind of the last dance, the last ride, but we didn't want to put too much pressure on it and make it anything bigger than it was. So we didn't have a lot of those kind of talks. I think it kind of just spoke for itself. But when you look in each other's eyes and you're getting ready for the morning, you can definitely tell. And then on the TV show, if you watch some of those last frames, you know, in Game 7 where, hey, this is their last frame, and it kind of hits them, and they look at me, I look at them, or trying to keep it together and just enjoy it. So a lot of unspoken words there, a lot of nonverbal cues, but definitely didn't want to make it any bigger than it was to add the pressure to what was there.
And so as we continue to move through this final weekend, the Penguins advance to the championship Saturday after winning your first match on Friday, defeating Nebraska 2-0 in the opening match, and then another sweep of the Cornhuskers early on the day on Saturday, then move you guys to the national stage on ESPNU against Jacksonville State for the national championship. Had to be, first off, just one of the longest days, considering that Nebraska matchup to start Saturday was at noon, and the national championship match wasn't until 9 p.m. at night, our time. I know you guys are in Las Vegas, so the times are probably a little bit different.
Yeah.
But still, just how did what did the team do in between the Nebraska match and the championship match to kind of stay loose and stay together, or was that whole day just kind of a blur looking back at it?
Yeah, you know, we do a lot when we have those times off in between matches. I like to give the ladies some space. You know, we don't have a lot of organized meetings or organized activities. It's just kind of everybody's a little bit different. I'm sure some took a nap, some maybe watched a movie or put on some music. Maybe what do they do now, TikTok or Instagram?
Yeah.
Whatever you youngsters do these days.
Any social media.
I kind of let them do their thing. I know I took a little nap, actually. I went back to the hotel, took a nap, you know, called some friends up, got some advice from Coach Justin and others, and then went back to business. But I like to give them time, especially to kind of escape from bowling mentally for an hour or two. And then we kind of have that 1 hour before game time. It's time to get in our zone and go through our pre-shot and pre-game routines and get in the zone. But a lot of it's kind of person by person, whatever they got to do to prepare themselves.
Awesome. Well, that'll take us to our first break here with Coach Cabersa. We made it all the way to the national championship match. When we come back, we'll talk about how that match went, the aftermath, and then this upcoming season squad when we return on the Penguin Playbook radio show. Welcome back inside the Boardman Quaker Steak and Lube for the final segment of hour number one of our Penguin Playbook radio show. I'm Anthony Romo, pleased to be rejoined with Doug Kaberski, the head coach of the Youngstown State bowling team. Before we rejoin with Coach Kaberski, I want to send along another message about the Youngstown State football team. The Penguins begin conference play on Saturday, October 4th, when they host South Dakota State at 6 p.m. It will be the YSU Family Day at Stambaugh Stadium, with all fans receiving a Penguins Stadium flag, courtesy of Panera, Medical Mutual, Pepsi, Varsity Club Youngstown, and 21 WFMJ. For tickets, call 330-941-1YSU or go to YSUsports.com. Pleased to bring Coach Kaberski back in. So, Coach, we talked about almost the entire postseason of last year leading up to the national championship match against Jacksonville State, and it all came down to a best-of-seven Baker match. That's all it was to decide the national champion. And, of course, to help the stress of everyone here in Youngstown watching on their couches, it goes all the way to that seventh and final game. And Jacksonville State early on kind of left some pins out there, and from the fourth frame on, the Penguins led. Jacques Côté, one of the top performers in program history, the closer of the team comes up with the team leading at that final frame. Just how did it feel to have Jacques close out that national championship win for you guys?
Yeah, you know, you want to win any way you can, but to have the ball in hand to lock it up is quite a feeling, you know, because I loved how our team was very respectful to their team, you know, and when they were still up bowling and they waited to celebrate until they were off the lanes, because you hurt for people, you want to win, but you still hurt for student athletes, you know, that don't win. And so I think, you know, it's nice to have the ball in hand and to cheer for that strike for the win. Because we've been in matches where, you know, another player might miss on another team. And it's really weird because you don't want to celebrate too much because you're hurt for them too. So to have that where she finished it and you can really celebrate once it was over was quite a feeling. And, yeah, to finish her career with three straight strikes is pretty awesome.
And so that national championship was the first of any Youngstown State athletics team since the football team won the 1997 national title. And more importantly, it was the first national championship won by a women's sport here at Youngstown State, which will always be remembered after hopefully we win a lot more women's national titles across our sports here at Youngstown State. How many texts and phone calls did you receive after winning that national championship? You talked about you made some texts before the match. After that, I'm sure your phone had to be going crazy.
Yeah, we have our phones off, of course, during any match, but especially when you're on TV. So, yeah, I think it took a little while. We had a little hour, 2 hours to celebrate, you know, get our wonderful T-shirts and pictures, and family was with us, and it was wonderful. And then you get to the book bag and open the phone up, and there's probably, I don't know, 230 or 40 some texts and messages. And it took me a couple of days to sort through them all. But it was, yeah, pretty surreal feeling, and the support was amazing.
And so to put a bow on last season's run, the team went on a media tour, really, after winning the national championship, went to the State House, was honored at Curbstone Coaches, was honored at the Beagley Center. Just talk about some of those trips that the team went on and how memorable it is, not only for you, but for the young ladies that performed out in the lanes to have memories for the rest of their lives.
I think that's what it's all about. You know, the lanes are one thing, and closing it out in Game 7 is great, but I think just the experience that we all had together, you know, leading up to it in Vegas was a wonderful thing all week long, independent of the outcome. And then, yeah, afterwards, just taking these awesome tours together and seeing some great things and sights together, those are things you're going to remember quite a bit, you know, how they made you feel, what you saw, who you experienced it with, so much bigger than the sport itself. And it's just awesome that I can play some kind of minor role to help give those experiences to our program and to our ladies and coaches. And so that's really what it's all about.
And so once again, congratulations to that team, national champions for Youngstown State. Now as we look forward to this season, mentioned it kind of a lot early on, it's a very new look this season. You replace a lot of student athletes from last year's team, Amanda Granada, Kara Beisel, who we talked to earlier, returners from that national championship bunch. From your standpoint as the head coach, how big is it to return two members of a championship team that can help lead this year's team of a lot of newcomers into this season?
Yeah, I think it's huge, you know, especially since they were, you know, with the seniors last year, and they were able to get acclimated to the culture, add to the culture, and I think they had, as Kara mentioned, some mentors from those six seniors, and they can add their flavor to you know, Penguin bowling. And then, of course, Amy, as she mentioned, made quite a run last year with Philly Dickinson in the postseason, and she's quite experienced, one of the best spare shooters in the country, and she's going to be great under pressure for our team with her leadership as well, and bring her flavor to it too. So I think, yeah, I think it's always important to have that foundation, and those folks can pass things on to our freshmen and our transfer.
So altogether, seven newcomers on this year's team, six true freshmen, one transfer, as we mentioned, in Amy. How excited are you for this new crop of talent to hit the lanes competitively for Youngstown State?
Yeah, it's weird because, you know, we're embracing our time together and we want to enjoy the next 4 weeks of training and cleaning up some little things, but I'm also ready to go. I think we were kind of talking about that. Kind of wish the tournament was this weekend.
Yeah.
they're all real close, you know. I think, we mentioned that we have a lot of youth. They're also very experienced bowling around the country, bowling a lot of big youth tournaments together, a lot of the big events, plus we mentioned Amy with her college experience as well. So I feel like, you know, it's a different kind of experience, and I think once they get together on the lanes, it's going to be pretty powerful.
That's a great way to lead me into my next question. You talked about what the preseason's been like with training and how you guys are getting really close to that first match of the season. What does that preseason practice look like on a week-to-week basis for the Youngstown State bowling program?
You know, these NCAA rules can be frustrating sometimes because the first month's very awkward. You're only allowed to train 4 hours of skill development. So we have 1 hour a week with classroom meetings, looking at different bowling topics, mental game, as they mentioned, usually as well. And then 3 hours on the lanes. And that 3 hours, most of that is individually based. So we only usually have about an hour or so a week together on the lanes. And the other part of that is individual sessions, one-on-one video work. Working on the physical game a little bit, equipment, of course, too. A lot of those little details now, because once you hit the road in October, a lot of it's traveling and kind of competition-based. So we're using that first month or two to really, you know, nitpick those little details, because once we hit play in October, it's go time.
And the student-athletes, we heard it from their perspective about building team camaraderie and being together, especially when times get tough. From your standpoint as the head coach, how important is it to develop that team camaraderie? Because like we mentioned, very small roster compared to other sports, and there's not as many people to lean on, but in a way that can kind of help you out because it's people that you're very familiar with.
It's huge. And I had my coach at Nebraska when I was there, Bill Straub, and his assistant now, the head coach, Paul Klempa. They always used to talk about those pins are smart. They know. The pins know when you're together, when you're not together, when there's tension, when there's not tension, when you're squeezing, when you're nervous. The pins know these things. They're very intelligent beings, so to speak, right? So, yeah, it's everything. When you're together, when your energy's flowing, when you're connected, when you're positive, when you're supportive to each other and the tension's minimal, the pins tend to fall. So we're definitely working on that, and it just makes life a lot better. You know, life's got a lot of natural stresses to begin with. We don't need to be adding to it with any kind of, you know, additional drama. So the ladies have been great working on those things together, and they're being together right now. I think we're right on track.
And so one final question about looking at this season's roster as a whole. 9 players on the roster, 9 student-athletes. 8 different states are represented out of the 9 student-athletes. Is there any part of the country that you kind of try to pinpoint when recruiting, or how does that work for you trying to build a roster that has such few spots?
You know, there's no real strategy. We just we go to a lot of different showcases, a lot, as Kara mentioned, some internet-based recruiting too, and just kind of looking to see, you know, who are our people. You know, obviously talent is important, but, you know, character, personality, work ethic, we want to see all these things mesh, and sometimes these things cluster, so it seems like we've been going, to New York and Florida and Minnesota, a lot of those things, Wisconsin, they've been clustering. But hopefully, you know, the word is spreading about Penguin Bowling, and we've had some wonderful folks reach out to us the last couple of years, and we're hoping to keep that up. But really, anything goes. We just try to find our people that will mesh with our culture.
And now looking forward to this season. Season opener begins October 17th at home with the Penguin Classic at Holiday Bowl in Struthers. This season's schedule features matches in 9 different states for the Penguins during the regular season. I know that first match at home is going to be a very important one, a very special one for this program. If you just want to kind of talk a little bit deeper about what is going to happen during that first match.
Yeah, you know, to coincide with Breast Cancer Awareness Month, we're going to rename it the Chelsea Gilliam Penguin Classic. I think it's, you know, a fitting tribute to our first ever head coach who unfortunately, you know, passed recently, and we want to remember her every October, of course every day, but especially every October for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So we're excited for that moment to memorialize her and honor her there. So big event for us, the first event of the year. We love our home at Holiday Bowl. It's going to be a wonderful event, and we're looking forward to hopefully seeing a big crowd out there. We have 18 teams coming in from all over the country. I think we have 5 or 6 top 10 teams there. It's going to be quite a show, and we're excited.
And Coach Chelsea, although I was never able to meet her, just from hearing stories and seeing all the love that she received on social media, it seems like she was a very special person for this program and for all of Youngstown when it comes to the bowling scene. Mm-hmm. As we talk about the matches in 9 different states this season, how special is that travel for you? Spend so much time away from home, but it seems like you get to build such close relationships with so many bowlers on this team.
Yeah, you do. Those trips on the road, you really, you know, connect. You find those bonds that connect you, all across the board, and you get to enjoy a lot of time off the lanes too, and see some great sites. I'm a bit of a history nerd, so we get to see a lot of historical things, museums, and we do our thing on the road, have a lot of fun, and then when it's time to hit the button and focus, we get out there and get after it.
And so one final question: we talked about the roster, we talked about the schedule. I want to talk about your staff. 2 assistants this year. Mackenzie Oleski was your lone assistant last year. Now you welcome Madison Marks, who we hinted to earlier, one of the stars of last year's national championship team. Talk about how they help you from a support standpoint and what they do to help out this roster.
Yeah, they're huge. You know, I think they don't get enough credit for what they do. You know, McKenzie has been fantastic the last couple of years for us in his last two Final Four runs. And I think Madison's already putting her imprint on this team as well. And I think they're going to mesh together. You know, they handle a lot of the communication, you know, managing things, keeping an eye on me, making sure I'm organized. And, you know, really at tournaments, it's invaluable to have those extra eyes out there to help manage things, work the practice pair, have people prepared. Hey, coach, I see this. I trust them both. They're both very intelligent bowlers and people, and they're great communicators. They're both, you know, trained in psychological methods as well. And, again, they keep me in line, too. So, overall, it's just a win-win.
Awesome. A win-win as we love it. One final reminder, the season begins October 17th at home with the Penguin Classic at Holiday Bowl in Struthers for our defending national champion, Youngstown State Women's Bowling Team. That'll do it here for the first hour. Thanks to Coach Kaberski and the student-athletes for joining me here at the Boardman Quaker Steak and Lube. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll have Bob Hannon speaking with members of the Youngstown State football team as they preview their matchup this weekend at Towson. We'll be right back after this.